Thank you for tuning in to the Pentecostals of Greenville podcast. Our goal is to reach, connect, and equip. We hope this message blesses you. If you want any more information about our church, please visit us at thepentecostalsofgreenville.com.
The word says in John chapter 5, verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that," somebody help me preach it, "he that what? He that heareth my word." It's so important that we make church a priority. Thank you for coming to the house of God on Easter. Come back next week and the week after and the week after. Why? Because there's a word that goes forth. And the only way that we can hear the word is if we're present. And so, God, I pray that for every guest and visitor, for every saint, for every seasoned saint, Lord, let us be faithful to the house of God. Why? Because the Lord is always speaking to his people. It doesn't matter how far you are away from God right now, the Lord is trying to speak to you. The Lord is, he's got a word for you, that there's something that God has for you. And it said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation," meaning you're not going to feel the need to run away from God. You're going to feel the desire to run to God. Isn't that amazing to think that every mistake that we make and every flaw that we have, we don't have to run from God. We can run to God. So if you're here today and you're thinking, "Man, I've lived my whole life hiding. I've lived my whole life running. I've lived my whole life trying to escape," I've come to let you know you can run to the Master. You can run, come on, you can run into the hands of Jesus. Why? Because there is therefore now no more condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Man, I feel my preach coming on. I can't even get through my text here. And it leads us to this last line, "but is passed from death unto life." Would you turn to a few people around you and just let them know, "from death unto life"? Come on, would you turn to somebody in front of you or behind you or next to you? Just let them know, "from death unto life." From death unto life. From death unto life. Would you help me pray? God, give us ears to hear and a heart to receive. Lord, in the name of Jesus, touch every person. Lord, every heart. Lord, every family. Give us ears to hear. Give us a heart to receive. Come on, would you lead this prayer right now? God, give me ears to hear. Lord, minister to me, God. And all of God's people said amen. Come on, all of God's people said amen. Would you one more time give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Amen, amen, amen. And you may be seated in the name of the Lord. It was in the early 1900s. There was a man by the name of Harry Houdini. Anybody familiar with Harry Houdini? I didn't mention this in our first service, but I grew up in Appleton, Wisconsin, and I'm a long way from Appleton here in the great state of North Carolina, but there is one great thing that, the people of Appleton kind of claim, and that is that it was home to Harry Houdini. And so they had the museums there, and they had some of the things that he escaped from. And so it was in the early 1900s that this man by the name of Harry Houdini, he fascinated the world with his performances. That he was considered the great escape artist. And he would free himself from straitjackets and handcuffs and chains and ropes. And as he grew more and more popular, he allowed his escapes to become more and more daring. That He escaped from being buried alive, and he escaped from being immersed in water inside of a coffin. He escaped from a water torture chamber, and it seemed as though Harry Houdini, he could escape anything. He could get himself out of any situation, that he was crafty and skilled, and nothing could hold Harry Houdini down. And as he was nearing his death, he told his wife that if possible, he would communicate to her from the other side. That he thought if anybody could escape death, he could. And Houdini, he died in 1926, and coincidentally, it was on Halloween. And for the 10 solid years that came after his death, his wife held on to the hope that her husband would communicate to her, that he could somehow escape death as he had escaped everything else. He escaped being buried alive, and he escaped being immersed in water, and he escaped the water torture chamber. And so his wife was hoping that just one more time he could somehow escape death as he had done so previously. And it was finally on the 10-year anniversary of Harry Houdini's death that his wife tried one final time, and she decided to broadcast this over the radio, and it was one final opportunity for Harry to prove that he could escape death and communicate with his wife. And so after numerous intense appeals to awaken Houdini from this slumber, the host yelled out, "Houdini, Houdini, are you there?" Nothing. "Houdini, are you there? We have waited, Houdini, oh so long, and never have you been able to present the evidence that you promised that you would speak to us from the other side." And so hearing nothing, like always, the host turned to Houdini's wife and asked for her response. And she replied, "Houdini did not come through. My last hope is gone, and I do believe that he cannot come back to me or to anyone else. It is finished." That Harry Houdini, he had hoped to escape it, and he had hoped to free himself. He had hoped for one more performance of doing the impossible. But for Harry Houdini, he went from life to death. From life to death. That he had followers and he had believers and they had hoped and they had desired. They broadcast it over the radio so that this could be a great opportunity for Houdini. But Harry went from life to death. And we see other individuals, other leaders that have spanned time, that have had followers and believers and people that revered them and celebrated them. We have seen people that have come forth saying that they are a self-proclaimed Messiah. Come on, somebody. Yet they've gone from life to death. We see Islam's Muhammad. He went from life to death. He died in 632 AD. We see that Buddha went from life to death, that he died in 483 BC. We see that Hindus, Krishna, went from life to death, that Krishna sometimes even referred to himself as Lord Krishna, a Hindu god who is supposed to be the eighth incarnation of Lord Vishnu, but yet Krishna went from life to death. The Unification Church's Sun Myung Moon, he claimed to be the second coming of Christ and a self-proclaimed Messiah, yet Moon, he went from life to death. That for Muhammad and Krishna and Buddha and Moon, they all were born and they all had a following of disciples and they all had thousands of followers and they were all renowned teachers, but yet they all died. And for Jesus, he too, he was born and he too had a following of disciples and he too had thousands of followers and he was a renowned teacher and he too died. But unlike anyone else, the word says this about Jesus. Y'all ready for this? Luke chapter 24, verses 4 through 7. Unlike anyone else, the word says this about our Jesus Christ. It says, and it came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And in verse 5 says, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Why? Because he is not dead, yet he is risen. That is why we... Come on, that's why we're here on this Easter Sunday morning. It's because we're serving a God that he has conquered death. He has defeated the grave. He has risen. And so, Lord, I will praise you all of the days of my life. I will worship you. For you and I, we are serving a God that he is not here, but he is risen. That unlike anybody else, Jesus was born of a virgin. Unlike anybody else, Jesus was a miracle worker. That unlike anybody else, Jesus was a healer. That he turned the water into wine and he opened the blind eyes and he unplugged the deaf ears. That unlike anybody else, Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. That unlike anybody else, Jesus was the one that died. But yet 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. That he is not here, but he is risen. That we see all these leaders, and we see all these self-proclaimed messiahs, and we see all these folks that know how to draw a crowd, but only Jesus was the one that rose again from the grave. I've come to let somebody know only Jesus was the one that defeated death. I wish somebody would preach with me this morning that only Jesus was the one that conquered it all, that it was only Jesus that said it's impossible for death to keep its hold on me. That today we come together and we're singing our songs and we're putting on our Easter Sunday's best, but this morning we've got a little pep in our step and we've got a little praise on our lips. Why? Because we're serving a living Savior today. We are serving a living Messiah today. We are serving the King of Kings, where heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool, but he's alive and well today, that he hears the prayers of his people. He hears the praise. Come on, if you're thankful for a living God, would you put your hands together and would you glorify him right now? He's alive and well. He's alive and well. I just feel like we ought to stay here for just a moment. Before we went into the word, we said every need. If you've got a need in the house, would you lift a hand? You know, we do that. In fact, who has a need in the house today? You know, and we do this, and we've got needs, and then we pray. You know, Lord, Heavenly Father, pray for every need. What are we doing? We're praying because there's a God, just like the song that we sung. He's in this room. I got 3 or 4 hand claps. Why? Because we don't see him. And maybe for some of you, you don't feel him, but we don't live this life based on feeling. We don't live this life based on what I see. I live this life based on faith that God, even though I don't see you, and Lord, even though maybe I don't feel you, I've got faith to know that you are in the room. And so every need, every situation, my God, he's alive. He's in the room. He's in our midst. And so right now, if there's a need, I want you to put a hand up right now. Come on, Lord, you're in the room. God, you're in our presence. Lord, we're in your presence. And so, Lord, you see every need. Lord, every situation. Lord, every trial. Come on, go ahead and get what you need right now. Why? Because he's alive and well. He's in the room today. He's in our midst. for somebody that came in here today and you don't feel it, and for somebody that came in here and you don't see, it's all right. We're not living this based on what we see. We're not living this based on what we feel. That my walk with you, it's based on faith. That, Lord, I believe in right now that you are with me. I'm believing that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Why? For thou, you are with me. Every step I take, every place I go, you are right there with me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But understand this morning the cross. Yeah, go ahead. That's just somebody that's thankful for the cross. Come on, that's just somebody that's thankful for the risen Savior. Come on, that's just somebody that's saying, Lord, I don't deserve it, but you've been good to me. Understand the cross. It wasn't just a moment for the Lord to say, look at what I can do. It was a moment to say, look at what God can do, yeah, but look at what God can do for you. That it wasn't just to show off the fact that God had power over his death. It was to also show that God has power over your death. That my God, he's got power over your sin. And my God has power over your past. And my God has power over it all. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that we read that the Gospels, it is the death, the burial, and it's the resurrection of our Lord. That his death signifies repentance, and his burial signifies water baptism in Jesus' name, and his resurrection signifies the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And if there's anybody here today that's repented of your sin and you've gone down in baptism and you've been filled with the gift, I feel like today would be a good day to just say, thank you, Jesus. That God, I'm thankful for your mercy, and Lord, I'm thankful for your, come on, there's something rising in the house this morning. That, Lord, I'm thankful for your love, and I'm thankful for the cross, and Lord, I'm thankful for your blood, and Lord, I'm thankful, Jesus. And if you're here today, and you've never repented. If you're here today and you've never gone down in Jesus' name and you've never been baptized, you've never been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, I've got good news today that my God is able to wash you of your past. I've got good news for you that my God is able to cleanse you of your sin. And I've got good news for you that my God is able to fill you with his Spirit. Why? Because he is a living Messiah. He's alive and he is well. And so today is the day of salvation. That today is the day that you can receive it. That today is the day that God can break the chains. Somebody to say, today is my day. The 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says this. For he hath made him to be sin. Why? Would you turn to your neighbor and just say, it's us. For he hath made him to be sin for us. That he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That for you and I here today, somebody hear me right now. That for you and I here today, the resurrection represents the renewing power of God. That the resurrection represents the beginning of something new in you and I. That it's the death of the old man. It's taking us from worldliness to godliness. It's the end of hopelessness and the beginning of newness of life. Which leads us to our verse in John chapter 5 and verse 24. If you've got your Bibles, would you turn with me to John chapter 5 and verse 24. It's the opening text that we read. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me He's going to have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death unto... That seems odd. That seems backwards. I've been to one too many funerals to know that that's not the norm. I've seen one too many situations where it is not the norm to say that we go from death to life. We talk about Houdini and we talk about all of the other leaders at the beginning of this message. They went from life to... And here it is in John chapter 5, he's reminding us that there's everlasting life here, and they won't come into condemnation, but he ends this little verse by saying that they will go from death to what? Oh, from death, maybe it's a typo? No. This is the word of God. This is tried and true, that there's not one mistake here. There's not one incorrect line. There's not one incorrect word. That what he said, it was true, that you are going to go from death, and you are going to go from death unto life. And I find such irony in this. There are the world's rich and famous right now. They're doing everything they can to defy death. Isn't that interesting? They're taking all of the money that they've accrued and all of the money and power that they have, and they're trying to find ways. How do I know that it's from life to death, but how do I defy this? How do I change this? Is it money that will, oh my goodness, is it money that will do it? Is it power that will, no. I'm letting somebody know that if you want to go from death to life, there is everlasting life, and it's only in and through Jesus Christ. That Jesus is reminding us today that it's different when we say yes to Him. Why am I devoted to this? Why are we rejoicing? Why are we putting all of our hope into this? Why are we putting, no pun intended, why are we putting all of our eggs into this basket? It's because Jesus is the only way. It's because there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow. It's at the name of Jesus every tongue will confess. And so, Lord, I'm calling upon you because you are the only way. You are the only thing that I need. It's not money. It's not fame. It's not power. It's not this. It's not. I just want Jesus. I just want Jesus. I'm devoted to this because Jesus, he flipped the script for you and I. Let me just get real this morning. You and I don't deserve this. Can I be real with you? We deserve hell. Woo! We deserve the grave. My wife and I, we were ministering at somebody's church not too long ago, and they were going on vacation, And we were real excited about it. And they were saying they got this place that they're renting right on the water. And he said, it's our first vacation as a full family in, you know, a couple of years. And I just said, well, Pastor, you deserve it. And he caught me off guard. He said, I deserve hell. I was like, wow, that was harsh. I deserve hell, you know. But, man, it got me thinking. It's so true, because the wages of sin... I don't deserve. This is the greatest thing that you and I can be a part of. And we don't deserve. Why? Because we are flesh. And we make mistakes. And we don't get it right. And we're going to fall short. And every once in a while, we're going to do things the wrong way. And we're going to have the wrong attitudes. And we're going to have the wrong spirit. And sometimes there are going to be some thoughts that come into your mind that are not of God. And there's going to be some things that happen that are not of God. And you're going to turn left when God is telling you to turn right. And there's going to be moments where God is telling you better stop right now. And we keep on taking that step. That the wages of sin, it is death. I deserve death. But the verse doesn't stop there, because the gift of God, it is eternal life. Come on, somebody ought to rejoice this morning that the verse doesn't stop, that the wages of sin is death, but that the gift of God, it is eternal life. That for you and I, it doesn't matter how many mistakes we've made. It doesn't matter how long we've been falling short. It doesn't matter what we've done. It is the gift of God that is eternal life. And so if you're here today and you're looking, if all you get out of this, hear me this morning. With everything I've got in me, it's Jesus. If you're wondering how your marriage is going to work out, I've just got one answer. It's Jesus. If you want to know what God is going to do for your future, Latrell, if you want to know what God is going to do in it, it's Jesus. If you want to know how am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to get through? How am I going to see it? How am I going to know? I've just come to encourage. I've just got one simple message, but the message is the greatest that you could ever hear. It's Jesus. If there's somebody under the sound of my voice that will just begin to say, Lord, I'm going to give it all to you. I'm going to give it all to you. Lord, here's my future. Here's my marriage. Here's my life. Lord, here's my children. Lord, here's my finances. Here's my talents. Here's my giftings. Lord, I'm placing it in your hands. I wish on Easter, for every person that walks out, I wish we could have a big, beautiful gift, real expensive, real nice, that we could send you home with, and it'd be a real nice prize, and you could put it or use it. I don't know. But man, the Lord kind of checked me this morning. We've got the greatest gift to offer. We've got the greatest gift to offer somebody, and it's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That when He went to the cross, He didn't just go to the cross to say, look at what I can do, I've got power over it. He went to the cross to say, it's a gift that in 2023, you're going to need it, and you're going to need it, and you're going to need it, and you're going to need it. That Lord, this everlasting life, it is for me. All across this house, would you stand? Would you lift up a hand towards heaven this morning? Would you just begin to call upon the name of the Lord? Come on, all across this house, would you just begin to talk to God? Come on, church, would you lift up your voice that God, in the name of Jesus. Very simple. There's a gift. It's for every one of you. Repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's for you. But we have to say yes. It's quiet in the house because that's maybe for some of you, it's laying down a net. Come on, somebody. I want you to follow after me, Simon Peter. What's it going to require? It's going to require dropping the net. It's going to require dropping our sin at the feet of Jesus. It's going to require dropping what I want to do and saying yes to what God wants to do in and through me. That it comes at a cost, but it's my prayer that there's someone under the sound of my voice that will say yes today. That, Lord, you've got something. I'm telling you, from the front to the back, from the left to the right, every person under the sound of my voice, God has something for you today. That there is a hope and a future. But as the Lord begins to knock on the door to your heart, you've got to run to Him. That's why condemnation is so terrible, you run away. That when the Lord begins to knock, we tend to run away. That God, no, I've got to hide some things from you. But the Lord that we serve today is trying to say, I went to a cross so that you can take those things that you're hiding from me and you can bring them to the feet of Jesus. We're going to lift up our hands and we're going to lift up our voice. And as we do, I want to encourage every person under the sound of my voice to make your way down to these altars to say yes to the Lord. That today can be your day to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Come on, today can be the day that you repent of sin that's maybe been hidden in your heart, and maybe nobody knows about it, maybe it's just you and God, but today can be your day that says, God, I'm going to give it all to you. That maybe you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus. I got good news. The water is warm today. And so we're going to lift up our hands and we're going to begin to pray. I encourage every person to make your way. What are you doing? You're taking a step of faith towards the Lord to say, God, here I am. Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray for every individual under the sound of my voice. God, I pray that right now, Lord, that you would move in them, God. Lord, that you would speak to it. Come on, that's it. Come on, maybe you don't feel like it today, but there's somebody that says, I'm going to take a step of faith towards these altars. God, I pray right now that you would begin to do a work. I pray that right now somebody would recognize I can go from death to life through you, Jesus. That nothing else will satisfy. Nothing else will bring the joy. Nothing else will bring the satisfaction, Lord. Nothing else, Lord, will bring it but you. Come on, that's it. All across this house, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, right now that you would begin to move on every heart. I pray right now, God, that you would begin to move on every marriage. I pray that right now, God, you would begin to move. Lord, that you would guide. Lord, that you would direct. Lord, that you would speak.